Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard Saturday morning. We are back. How exciting is this? We have been gone for a couple weeks, vacation time and all of that good fun stuff. But we are back and ready to rock and roll. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're supposed to have Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com and our official NASCAR contributor. Unfortunately, he is sick, so we do hope he gets to feeling better real soon. Coming up, next weekend is the NFL draft. Man, how time flies, right? And we look for anything, excuse that we can possibly look for on this show to talk about football. So Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, joins us to just give us a preview of the NFL draft. What's happening? Who's going to take who? Who's going to land where? We'll kind of put together some of our predictions for next week's draft. And then we got Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast stops by. We're going to be talking a little Masters. That's right. A tradition like none other. Little NBA, little Pacers and IndyCar. Going to scramble all that in. You know what to do with those scrambled eggs, right? I know. I can't help myself. It's too early in the morning, right? Too early in the morning. Yeah, 917-889-8516 is our digits. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Stick around. It's about to get real good.
Russell watched TV after his high school graduation. 3 solid months of ESPN. Till his dad.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active-duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family. So the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi. Hey. Seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so,
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pique, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted. Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Called up in the Masters theme song there that I totally forgot to turn on my mic. How about that, huh? Oh, welcome, my friends. I can't do the Jim Nance thing, man. But when you hear that song, you know what time it is. It is the Masters comes around once a year. What a magnificent place it is. I've had an opportunity to be there before and play in a pre-Masters golf scramble one time, a once-in-a-lifetime event. Love that place. Love the Masters. But who will put on the green jacket? And, you know, we've been bouncing around all week on who we're looking at, who we're watching, and, you know, there's a lot of favorites. There's a lot of – it really could be not – I won't say anybody's shot, but – a lot of times before the all the hype and all that, we start talking about, okay, who are the golfers that we'd like to watch? So I'm watching Scheffler, Shoffley. I know that sounds very similar. Rom Zalatoris and Tiger. And you know, here's the great thing, you know, exciting thing about Tiger. And I learned how old I was this week to give you a peek behind the curtain. I work with a lot of young folks. That's okay. I'm cool. I can handle that. But you know, we're talking about, okay, who's going to win? Who's going to get? Surprisingly, so many people said Tiger. And you think, well, okay, Tiger's a great golfer. Obviously, one of the greatest of all, if not the greatest of all times. Although we gotta have that conversation on it maybe at a different time, because yeah, Jack Norman, Al Parmel, there's a lot up there, but Tiger's certainly up there. You think, but their age, they grew up with Tiger, the childhood hero, and of course, you know, he set a Masters record with 20, made the cut, the 24th consecutive cut, despite making history on Friday. My day's mixed up. You know, I think Tiger Woods is still standing out there thinking, I can get another green jacket. And you know what? Maybe he can't. He's going to have to get some work done. I mean, I think we'd like to root for guys like Tiger, and it would be great to see him win. And another green jacket. But I don't see it. But he's just, let's face it, Father Time stops for nobody, you know. And so we'll see how everything plays out. Take a quick look at the leaderboard. We've got DeChambeau, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. He's in the first, and then Scheffler, Homa, Hogard, and Davis, Chandler Davis, another guy that you might want to look at as far as a dark horse, a golfer from Australia. But an exciting time. We'd love to watch the Masters. We'd love to see how it all plays out. You know, the Masters, in a lot of ways, is the Super Bowl of golf. I think, and you know, okay, you have the Open and the Ryder's Cup, but it's one of the three major ones. Just like the Kentucky Derby, it's one of the three major races. So I think even if you don't follow golf and don't love the game as much as I do, you still got to stop and pause and say, "Wow, that place is amazing." You know, so if you had a chance to turn on CBS this weekend and check out the Masters. Move on over to NASCAR. Like I said, I wish we would be able to have Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, on with this, our official NASCAR contributor. He's a little under the weather today, so we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about who we're looking at with the Texas Motor Speedway. And in just a few minutes, we're going to jump into conversation with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, and our official NFL contributor. We're going to be taking a look at the 2024 NFL draft. The starting lineup for the Xfinity race is Love, Custer, Gray, Smith, and Herbis, Riley Herbis. And I believe this is the Andy's Frozen Custard 300. I believe that's what it is. And then tomorrow, they're in Texas as well. So we'll be following with us up on social media. And remember, the live show is our show. So when you get that podcast, and thank you guys for listening to us on Spotify and on Amazon and Apple, wherever you get your podcasts at, make sure that you give us a like and a listen. Follow us on the X or the Twitter at T-Balance, and of course on the Book of Faces. We're going to be right back. We're going to get into some conversations about the NFL draft, and what's coming up next weekend right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
Okay. I can't believe it.
I've been playing 4-on-4 with a barbershop quartet.
Pass the ball, pass the rock. We're open, just pass the ball.
Nah, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico. Yeah.
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I've seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle Coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here. No.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so, I don't, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Good job.
Hey, Donald.
This is not embarrassing.
My blood is clotting. Clotting.
Never ever evict your parents, okay?
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Don Mark with El Presidente. Hey, we are been talking a little bit about the Masters today, a little bit about NASCAR, but it's time to get into some NFL talk. It's the draft next week. We got with us right now Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, our official NASCAR contributor. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Tom. Masters weekend. Always
love
a great
it.
Time of year. Yeah.
So do you follow the Masters? Are you much of a golfer?
Yeah, sure. Well, I like to follow it. I follow the majors, you know, and the Players Championship I watched a couple of weeks ago, which is like the fifth major, really. But
yeah.
That's kind of when I tune in.
You get to play very much?
No, sadly.
I tell you what,
I do not.
I'm right there with you. I got a new set of clubs last year and really didn't get a chance to use them out too much, but I do love to golf. And unfortunately, it just seems like with schedules and everything else, it gets so crazy. But I think maybe it's time to get over to Top Golf and back nine for now and then. Does that count?
Yeah, you guys, yeah, sure. You're swinging them. You're swinging the club.
You guys,
yeah, that counts.
You got a Top Golf in your neck of the woods?
I think there's one that just opened fairly close by, so I have yet to pay it a visit, but maybe I will.
You're going to have to. It's a lot of fun.
They're growing.
It's more of an excuse to drink beer and you know, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. like we
you
really
say that
need
about a lot of things. Yeah,
that's right. We really need an excuse
for a lot
to
of
drink
things.
Beer.
Right,
well, let's get
right.
into this. Next weekend is the NFL draft. A lot's going on. A lot of storylines to talk about. We'll kind of get through some of these, but obviously, we always like to start with you and the Philadelphia Eagles. That you cover quite closely. So before we maybe get into the positions and stuff, talk with us a little bit about what the Phillies need, what do they need to do, and you, from somebody that's there all the time, what are you looking for them to do?
Yeah, the Eagles, as they usually did a pretty good job of kind of draft-proofing themselves where, you know, they made some moves, a lot of moves in free agency this off, you know, these last few weeks that kind of really don't allow you to think, hey, you got to go out and get this position. And that's kind of like what they do is they try not to force anything. So they bring in guys at positions of need so they can go into the draft sort of open-minded and take the, you know, in theory, the best player available on their board in each round of the draft. You know, to me, they probably could still use a linebacker, even though they brought in Devin White from Tampa Bay and Zach Bond from the New Orleans Saints during free agency, and N'Kobe Dean, you hope, can come back and give them a healthy season, something he didn't do last year. He only played 5 games. So, you know, linebacker, you could certainly look at that spot. You know, I think cornerback is another issue for them. They have 2 older guys in Darius Slay and James Bradbury. And, you know, Bradbury had a terrible year last year. And, you know, maybe some of that was due to the coaching staff that is now all new. And I think the Eagles are sort of counting on him to have a bounce back season. But if they find somebody early in this draft, you know, with that first round pick, or if they move up, then maybe James Bradbury won't be on the team. The Eagles will take a pretty big cap hit to have to release him if they do that. So I'm not sure they'll do it. But, you know, those are two key positions to me. I think you also need to find another wide receiver behind A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, they brought in 2 guys in free agency, Devontae Parker, a little on the older side, 31 years old, and Paris Campbell, a player the Colts fans are familiar with after drafting him a few years ago. He comes in, but what does he do? I mean, I'm not sure you can kind of count on him to be that third guy. So you need a third guy to develop, and especially because, you know, I'm not sure how much longer A.J. Brown's going to be on this team. You know, his salary cap goes up to $26 million next year and then $41 million after that. You're going to have to restructure that if he's willing to do it. Or you're going to move on from him. And, you know, because Devontae Smith, there's talk of extending his contract. You know, the Eagles have him under control for 2 years. They have to pick up his team option by May 2nd, which they will clearly do, but it'll be a $16 million cap hit next year. So, you know, to me, wide receiver is kind of a sneaky need for this team, and they could go in that direction. So, you know, Tom, it's probably like a lot of teams where you could, you know, hit 3 or 4 positions of need. And the Eagles are no different. A defensive tackle could certainly make sense. Fletcher Cox retired. You know, they drafted a defensive tackle in the first round each of the last 2 years, Jordan Davis 2 years ago, Jalen Carter last year. Would they do it again? Would they make it 3 straight years with a D tackle? They might. So, you know, those are 4 spots right there where the Eagles could go in the first round. And then, you know, the draft isn't always just about the first round. It goes on and on for over 2 days. So, everybody spotlights that first round, but there's more to the draft than just the first 32 picks.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's certainly been a share of great players that weren't drafted in the first round. A guy by the name of Tom Brady comes to mind. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about a wide receiver, and, you know, one of the key things I would think that the Eagles are looking at for a wide receiver is Keon Coleman from Florida State. In 10 games at Florida State in 2023, he recorded 45 receptions. And a lot of people think that Keon Brown could give Philadelphia a third option and be a big play potential. And he's a bigger version of A.J. Brown. And you mentioned him. Maybe what are your thoughts about them looking at him for a wide receiver position?
Yeah, they could really use someone to play in the slot, you know, also, you know, kind of have some slot versatility, because they don't really have a slot receiver. I mean, you put Devontae Smith in there, but, you know, he's a pretty good outside guy too. you know, so that slot position, you can name a lot of guys at receiver. I think this draft is just, you know, the 2 strengths of this draft are, you know, offensive tackle, maybe even the offensive line in general, and the wide receiver group. So I think you really, if you have those 2 positions in need, this is the draft to come out with a player at each of those positions. So, you know, Keon Coleman, sure, he's a guy. You know, Xavier Leggett's a guy. Malachi Corley, he's the guy. Xavier Worthy, I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. And I know Xavier Worthy has visited with the Eagles, the kid from Texas, you know, but there's so many names. Brian Thomas, where's he going to go? The kid from LSU, you know, he'll probably go in the first round. But, you know, there's so many receivers in this draft. And, you know, you could name 5 to 10 of them that would fit with the Eagles and other teams too.
Well, you know, I think, you know, around one, I think, what do you guys have, pick 22? Am I correct on that? I may have
yeah,
the number wrong. But
that's it. Yeah, no,
that's
you got it.
Man,
and,
I think my memory.
Yeah. Well, pick 22, you know, keep in mind Howie Roseman, their general manager, he's traded up in four of the last five drafts.
Doesn't necessarily mean that's where you'll be at.
Right.
You know,
but I don't know who he would come up for. I really don't know who he would come up for. And, you know, it's interesting, Tom, because, you know, the Colts and the Eagles kind of have similar need at cornerback. I've seen a lot of mock drafts with the Colts picking a cornerback like a Terrion Arnold or, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, who the Eagles love, the kid from Toledo. But to get him, the Eagles are going to have to really move up high. And would they do it for a cornerback? They haven't taken a cornerback in the first round of the draft since 2002 when they took Lito Shepard out of Florida. So, you know, they're a team that prioritizes offensive and defensive line. So I got to think if they're moving up, they're probably going to grab a D lineman or an O lineman.
Well, you got to think that one of the guys they'd probably be looking at is Graham Burton, that stud from Duke. I mean, he's a crazy
yeah,
beast, and he's on the offensive lineman. And, you know, I like Duke. Duke has had a good football season last year. I like Duke in the basketball world. My granddaughter is also kind of like, I like Duke. We were talking when we were out there on vacation a couple weeks ago. We're sitting at the table, and I said, where are you going to college? And she's like, well, I like Duke because I go there. She goes there a lot. But she goes, yeah, I really like their veterinarian stuff because she wants to be a vet. But now keep in mind, 13, but then the other school is North Carolina State. So I don't have anything to do with them being in the champion, in the March Madness. She goes, I don't follow that stuff, Grandpa. She doesn't like football team, so she does like football. So for that aspect, you know, we follow Duke a lot, but I do like Duke this year. And Graham Burton, offensive lineman, would be a good, if you stayed at 22 and he's there at 22, that'd be somebody to look at. But who am I?
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think Graham Burton would fit a lot of teams. And, you know, if you're the Eagles, though, and you look at that interior offensive line position, the last time they took one on the interior was Danny Watkins in 2011, and he might be the biggest bust in Eagles history. The guy was a firefighter, a little on the older side, and never had a passion for the game. Now, you know, Graham Burton isn't that, obviously. But if you're the Eagles, you look at Jason Kelce, you talk about good players that have come outside the first round. Jason Kelce was a sixth-round pick out of Cincinnati, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame in 2029 would be my guess when he's eligible. So you're the Eagles, and you're thinking, you know, we found our Hall of Fame center in the sixth round. Do we really need to go and get, you know, another center/guard type here in the first round, or can we mine gold at that spot later? I'm sure these are all conversations they're having in the room. But, yeah, Graham Barton's a fantastic player, no question. It's not a sexy pick, won't be a sexy pick for Philly or any other team, I wouldn't think, because he's an interior, you know, offensive lineman. Now, we're seeing guards getting paid big money. You know, late recently, Landon Dickerson, the Eagles guard, he got an $84 million contract here a couple weeks ago. So, you know, guards are starting to get paid. So maybe the priority on guards is starting to go up, and maybe you do see someone grab him in the top 20 picks.
Let's go around the league a little bit. We'll make a quick stop here in Indianapolis and talk about my Colts. A lot of things to address with the Colts. I think they did a lot of things right. Last year, knock on wood, we have the quarterback situation finally resolved. We like to believe that we do. Anthony Richardson is out throwing again and showing some good signs of rehab. We expect for him to be back. And, of course, we picked up Joe Flacco in the offseason. So the quarterback situation is pretty much solid, but we still have to address some other issues that are got some holes on the team. And, you know, some of the players that we've been talking about on the local radio and stuff here in Indianapolis is Brock Bowers, a tight end out of Georgia, but I know all of Georgia players get drafted to the Eagles, so we'll see if he's still around. Okay, good resist. But in a lot of mock drafts I've seen with the Colts, they have him Colts move up maybe to a 15 pick, and in about 12% of the mock drafts, they say that the Colts might look at moving up to at least the 15, so we'll see how that plays out. But so that kid from Georgia, Brock Bowers, also Quinyon Mitchell, out of Toledo, quarterback out of Toledo, and cornerback, which is certainly a hole that we desperately have to pick. And about 16 to 20% of the mock drafts say that that the Colts will pick up Mitchell. And then the number one that everybody seems to like in the cornerback situation is Teron Arnold with Alabama. He's probably the one I've seen the most in the mock drafts for the Colts. That player from Alabama, Teron Arnold. I don't know why that name is such a hard thing to say. It's not a hard spelled name. It's just me. Hey, quarterback out of Alabama, what are your thoughts about him and the Colts?
Yeah.
Go around the league.
Yeah, for sure. I think those are probably your top two cornerbacks in the draft is Arnold and the other kid you mentioned is now just threw a blank on him. Mitchell, Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah, those two I think are the top
I'm wearing
two.
Off for you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, stop that, will you? And then you have Cooper DeJean, he's a guy that's rising up draft charts. I know he broke his leg or his fibula or something, late last year, but he's healthy. He participated in his pro day at Iowa. He's the guy maybe that gets into the top 22, so maybe you throw his name in the mix if you're the Colts. Maybe even trade back a couple spots and maybe grab him. But you mentioned Brock Bowers, and, the Colts could probably use a tight end, right? And it's not a very deep draft class, I should say, for tight ends. And if you want one, you better grab one in the first two rounds because it doesn't get any better after that. Somebody like a Theo Johnson from Penn State, now he's not obviously a 15th overall pick for the Colts, but if you want Brock Bowers, I think you have to get a probably ahead of the New York Jets, who – I think there's a lot of chatter about them taking him, although there's also offensive line talk for the Jets at 10. But I know they like Brock Bowers, and he might be gone at 10. But if he's sitting there with Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, I mean, what do the Colts do? Do they take the tight end, or do they go for the secondary? I think given the fact that there aren't too many good tight ends, projected to be good tight ends, you probably go with the tight end. And then maybe with your next pick, you try to get yourself a cornerback. That's the way I would go. But that's going to be real fascinating if Bowers is sitting there and so are those two cornerbacks to see exactly, what the Colts do there.
Absolutely. We're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, our official NFL contributor, taking a look at the upcoming NFL draft. Let's bounce around the league here. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, Baltimore Ravens made huge news that when Derrick Henry left the Titans and went to the Ravens, I'm glad to get him out of the AFC South. But I'm really kind of surprised that the Cowboys didn't make a move for him. But either which way, they've got a great position. They've got a great opportunity to do well with Derrick Henry added to their roster. But, looking at some of the mock drafts and just kind of throw out some names here for each of these teams that these mock drafts are throwing out at me. And start with the Ravens in the number 30 slot, Tyler Guton, offensive tackle for Oklahoma. And then in round two at number 62, they're talking about Devon Walker, a wide receiver out of North Carolina. So we'll see how that, but what are your thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens? Who do you think they need to look at? What kind of holes do they need to fill for the Ravens?
I think, like you said, the receiver and the offensive line, I think are probably their two needs. And, I think offensive line, they need to find somebody for Ronnie Stanley, I think, who, great player, but he can't really stay healthy. And that's a concern. You need your tackles on the field consistently. And so they could go that way. Tyler Guyton's a projected, he's a project type of a player. He's got all the traits, but, he's a converted tight end, so he's going to maybe need a little bit of time. And, I know he's been mentioned with the Eagles. He's a University of Oklahoma product, same as Lane Johnson, who, has become one of the best right tackles in football. And, he's 33 now, and Johnson has endorsed Guyton for the Eagles to take, another kid out of Oklahoma. That's where Johnson's from. But, yeah, Guyton's a good kid. He's a good player. And, to me, the Ravens could be kind of a candidate maybe to possibly trade up into the draft to try to find you know, either their receiver or their own tackle. But I think either one of those positions is for sure in play. I know they brought in Odell Beckham last year kind of late. You know, he helped them a little bit, but he's not the same guy. You know, and I think even the secondary, you know, do you go out and try to find someone to come in and play in the secondary? If Cooper DeJean's still there, maybe they grab him. But I think the Ravens could be a trade-up candidate for somebody, and maybe it's even the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles go backwards in this draft. But I'd keep an eye on them as a possible trade-up type of team here on, you know, a week from Thursday.
Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. The trade of Stephon Diggs made it a necessity to find a receiver with one of their first two picks. And, you know, the names that are being thrown out there for that position anyway, it would be Brian Thomas, wide receiver out of LSU. I was not in that camp that the Colts should have went for Stephon Diggs. He's a hot mess. Yes, he's a great player, but he's a hot mess other than being a great player. And I just think that I'm glad that we didn't go that route. I know that a lot of people were like, you know, here we go again. Chris Ballard just messing everything up. He should have made a move for Stephon Diggs. I'm glad we didn't, to be honest with you. But he is in the AFC South now with Houston. But that did make it very necessary for the Buffalo Bills to pick up a wide receiver. So I would say to get Brian Thomas, they're going to have to move up to acquire him. Their general manager, Brandon Means, said he's been willing to trade up for this guy. And so he's a LSU standout wideout and could, you know, be a deep threat role. Curtis Samuel. Sorry, my brain is just not working right today.
I mean, you know, I don't think the Bills have a whole lot of picks either. So to move up, it's going to, you know, they're probably going to have to mess around with some capital in the next year's draft. And will they find a team willing to do that? It depends what it is, I guess. But, you know, once you get a little bit later in the first round, sometimes it's more about value than it is the position you need. Like if there's a guy like an edge rusher, like a kid from UCLA, Leitu Latu, I think I'm not saying that name right, but he's an edge rusher. But if he's still there or, you know, there's a value guy like a Cooper DeJean, if he's sitting there, you know, maybe you just go with the value and you know, you worry about the other positions kind of taking them care of themselves as you go through the draft. But again, the Bills don't have, I don't think, a lot of picks in this draft. So, you know, maybe they do jump at the best player of need. And that would certainly be a receiver for sure. They do need him. They, you know, not only did they lose Diggs, and I agree with you, Tom, I don't think he would have made sense for the Colts. 31 years old. You know, you have a young quarterback, Anthony Richardson. And I know the Texans do also with CJ Stroud, but I don't know. I'm not sure what Diggs is going to have left. I know they tore up his contract, so he's going to be playing really hard this year for a new deal.
Yeah.
But if he's not getting his targets, then that has the possibility of kind of, you know, torpedoing the locker room because he might start to complain like, hey, I'm not getting my targets. I'm not getting my catches. I'm not going to get a new contract unless this, you know, these numbers go up. So, you know, we'll see how all that plays out. I just don't like that mix in the locker room. So, but the Bills also lost not only him, but they lost Gabe Davis, who was a very reliable pass catcher. So, yeah, I think you got to find a playmaker with the receiving position for the Bills. You know, maybe a Brian Thomas is there. He's had 17 touchdowns last year at LSU. He'd certainly qualify, in my opinion, as a playmaker. But that makes the most sense. But, again, it depends on value. With number 28, I think, is where the Bills pick, somewhere down there. If there's a player that slipped through the cracks in the first 20-plus picks and he's still there, you know, they could go that way, you know, and the heck with the need. We're getting the best player at a position that maybe we might not need, but we know we can play and we'll find room for him, and it's a good problem to have.
When you're talking about the players' names, you know, oftentimes if people have a kid and a son that said, you know, he's going to be an NFL player, or he's going to be a baseball player. And you look at what they named him, and like, you know, you got to change his name now if he's going to be an NFL player because we got to be able to say his name.
Yeah.
That's how that should work.
All those kids that named their sons Chipper after Chipper Jones for the Atlanta Braves, you know, or if they're not in the baseball, in Major League Baseball, then, you know, they're stuck with the name Chipper. But you got to be careful with that.
That's absolutely right. Well, we got time for a few more teams here, and I just kind of want to start from the top here. What are your thoughts on the Bears? Who do you think? Let's just kind of maybe go chalk a little bit if you want to, but let's just kind of go through some of these teams here. Who do you think the Bears pick up?
Man, they're in such great position, the Bears. I mean, they're going to have to be the most improved team in the league this year just based on the talent that they have. I mean, they're really loading up. I mean, they have the first pick and the ninth pick, two top 10 picks. That's insane. So, you know, they're going to take Caleb Williams. They're going to get their quarterback, and, you know, he's going to have, obviously, Keenan Allen now and DJ Moore to throw to. And then with that second pick, I saw they brought in Marvin Harrison for a visit. I mean, could the Bears possibly try to move up to, like, the fifth pick, you know, from number 9 to 5 or 6 and take Marvin Harrison? I mean, my goodness, can you imagine that? Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison coming in the same draft, the receiver and a quarterback that you can keep together for – you know, at least 5 years and potentially for the rest of their careers if you know, they do what they're supposed to do and play well. But, okay. Yeah, that to me, the Bears are just in a great position here. I mean, they can't screw this up. I mean, they could try to screw it up, but I think it would be hard for them to screw it up because, you know, there's so much talent. Yeah.
If any team could screw it up, we'd leave it to the Bears. But, you know, you're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., I say, hey, Colts, just give the farm away, throw everything that we've worked for away, and get that guy because he's instantly going to become a star. But, man, it won't happen. We won't get him, but wouldn't it be crazy to get Marvin Harrison Jr. In the Colt at the Colts? Won't happen. But,
those other two guys are pretty good, too, that are considered the top three, Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers from LSU. I mean, they're pretty good, too. Now, I'd put Harrison above them, but, you know, they're pretty good consolation prizes. If you're the Colts and you can get up and, you know, into that range, I mean, would you take Brock Bowers? I mean, I would take a tight end as well. I mean, you have Michael Pittman now signed for 3 years. You know, it would be great to give Richardson another weapon, whether it's receiver or tight end. But that Brock Bowers, he's like compared to George Kittle for the 49ers. I mean, that guy's going to be great, I think. And if you can get him, man, I would take him. You're not going to get Harrison, for sure. I think he's going to be going in the top five. But those other two are pretty good, too, Dunze and Nabers.
So let's, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks to be had in this year's draft. So we'll see. It's very quarterback heavy. As we just mentioned, the Bears should obviously go with Caleb Williams. Then we've got keeping the way things are now. Keep in mind that things can change with trade ups and trade downs and that sort of stuff. But the Washington Commanders got the number 2 slot, and a lot of people think they'll pick up Jaden Daniels from LSU. What are your thoughts on the Commanders, and what have they got to do in this year's draft?
Yeah, they'll take a quarterback. It's buyer beware with these quarterbacks, though, right? I mean, how many drafts have we seen where, you know, like, what was it, a couple years ago? You know, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance went 2 and 3 behind, I think it was Trevor Lawrence, and look at those two, Lance and Wilson. You know, they're no good. You know, and that was just a couple of years ago. You know, last year it was Bryce Young who went number 1, and now I know he didn't have pieces around him. We'll see how he develops, but you know, Stroud went 2, and look at Stroud. You know, he's got the Texans in the Super Bowl conversation. So you have to be very careful. If you're going to take a quarterback, and I think 4 are going to go in the first 4 picks, and for the Commanders, it's probably going to be the Jaden Daniels or Drake May from North Carolina. Now, probably Daniels because they took a North Carolina quarterback a couple years ago, Sam Howell from the University of North Carolina. He's now been traded to Seattle. Would they go back to the University of North Carolina for Drake May? I don't know. You know, I don't think so. I think they'll go Daniels. But, again, you're going to have these quarterbacks, Williams, Daniels, May, J.J. McCarthy, probably go in the top 4 picks, and they're not all going to play. They're not all going to work out. So which one is, which one isn't, who's going to survive, who won't, you know, that's a crapshoot, and you better get it right if you're investing all those resources. Like the Colts with Anthony Richardson, we don't know what he is. We still have to find out. You hope that he's the guy. And I think he is, but we don't know. And, you know, he's a top 5 pick. So you don't know what you're getting with these quarterbacks. You better make sure you're doing your homework, because if you mess up, you're probably going to lose your job.
Well, the team that I think that a lot of eyes are on just because of who they are and what has happened recently, one in the quarterback position and two in the head coach role as the New England Patriots move on to Jared Mayo. Mayo. That's who it was.
Yeah. One of my favorite condiments, by the way.
You do have mayo just about on anything.
Yeah, darn right.
You mentioned Drake May. That's an ideal fit for me. Now, will the Patriots trade back or stay up to select a quarterback? You think, but the Patriots are really want to feel that not that you could ever feel Tom Brady's role, but they really want to feel that role there. They got, you know, they signed Jacoby Brissett to a 1-year deal as a possible bridge, if you will, but they've got to do something with that quarterback role. And you think Drake May with North Carolina might be that guy? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you hope he's not the next Mac Jones. I mean, you know, they really got burned with that pick. Now, that was obviously later in the first round. That was somewhere down near the 15 spot, I think, when they took Mac Jones. But you hope he's not Mac Jones. You know, he's pretty inconsistent, I think, when he was at North Carolina. So you got to make sure you're right. And, listen, don't overthink it if you're the Patriots. Don't say, well, maybe we could trade down a few spots and get, you know, like a Bo Nix or, you know, the second-tier guys, a Spencer Rattler or whoever. Don't overthink it. Just make the pick. Find a quarterback you're in love with and just go and take him because you need one. Drake May could be the guy, you know, or J.J. McCarthy. You know, you hope he's not the next Mac Jones. You got to be careful with these guys. I'm not sure I really love them. I just think because they're quarterbacks and teams need quarterbacks, that's why they're being talked about as top five picks. But I'm not sure I love either of those guys, to be honest. I like Jaden Daniels and I like Caleb Williams. They're my two top quarterbacks. But if I'm the Patriots, you got to grab a quarterback and you got to get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. We're joined now by Tony Donahue, the Tony D Podcast. Ed, I know we got to let you go here as your day's kind of busy as well. But Tony, we were talking about the Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast joined us. And Tony, we're going to get into our planned conversations here in just a second, but you joined us on the tail end of our NFL draft week, and you're part of the local media here around here in Indianapolis with me. Get your thoughts on the Colts or the overall what happens in the NFL draft next week, Tony.
You know, we know that Chris Ballard loves his draft picks, and he loves to get as many guys in the room during the draft, and kind of as we learned in this offseason, he likes to keep his own, and he really takes pride in drafting and then keeping those same players. We saw that with Kenny Moore, a few other players that were just signed. I think with the 15th pick, the Colts have a lot of options, and I think their best option could be to move down. I know a lot of people talk about them moving up, but, I mean, if you move down, you still have an opportunity to get a player that fits one of your needs, whether that's at cornerback, whether that's that defensive end. So I could see them certainly moving down. You know, like Brock Bowers is not going to be there. You don't want to take a wide
receiver. We were just talking about him. Yeah. Go ahead.
If you don't want to take a wide receiver at 15 just because there's just so many other wide receivers in this draft, unless like a Rome Odunze were to fall to you at 15, which I don't see happening, I really do think that the Colts maybe trade out of this pick. Maybe they move back to 24th, 25th, 26th, gain a couple other extra picks. I mean, if you're looking at a Cooper DeJean or a Jared Verse, you might be able to move back to 24th or 25th. Kool-Aid McKinstry comes to mind as well. You know, and maybe even a Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, a guy that has kind of been all over the draft boards. I think they've got, the 42nd or 43rd pick. They could maybe get LaTroy Walters, a wide receiver out of Oregon. But I really think at 15, you got two options. It's one, stay there because you're probably going to get a number one or a number two player at the position that you need, knowing that four quarterbacks are going to be going and probably two to three wide receivers / tight ends will be going. Or you trade it back because there's a massive pool of cornerbacks and defensive ends that you can get in the mid-20s.
We'll see what happens. You and I are going to be at the watch party and see what happens with the Colts. Ed Kratz, we appreciate you joining us. Any final thoughts for us on the NFL draft next week?
No, that's a good point by Tony. If they trade back, I'm sure the Eagles would be more than willing to jump up to 15 if the Colts want to come down to 22. It's just a matter of compensation. What are you going to give up? But You know, I know the Eagles would love to have Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's their favorite player in this draft. And, again, would they take a cornerback in the first round, something they haven't done in 22 years? I don't know. But I know they love Mitchell. And to get him, you're going to have to get into that 15 range. So, you know, if you're if you're the GM of Indy, give Howie Roseman a call in Philly because they might be able to work something out and move back.
So have you ever seen the movie Brothers? That movie is hilarious.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, don't touch my drum set and whatever. Did we just become best friends? And there's been all kinds of memes that started joking around about the Colts and the Colts and the Eagles and their relationship is like that of the movie The Brothers. So it's hilarious. It's hilarious. And we appreciate you joining us. I know people can find you, where people can find you and on your working masterpieces, sir. Where can people find you on the working
masterpieces? Sure. Follow me. You can hit me on Twitter at Kratze, KRATZE, or SI.com/NFL/Eagles. Lots of draft coverage. That's where you can find me.
All right, buddy. You have yourself a good weekend. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tom. See you, Tony.
See you guys.
Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles at SI.com, our official NFL contributor, breaking down what's happening next week in the NFL draft. But Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast is joining us now. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's talk about the tradition like none other. Who's going to put on that green jacket? I know you and I have some golfers that we're watching. With work, it's kind of hard for me to sit there at my desk, although I can. But it's just like I'm moving around a lot, so I don't really get to pay a lot of attention to it. I don't know if you have had a chance to watch it over the last 2 days. It's good to see Tiger back in it. As I told you, he's one of the golfers I'm watching, probably one of the weakest one. Who wouldn't want to see him with another green jacket? What are your thoughts on the Masters and where we stand at now on the leaderboard, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to see Tiger. I think he said yesterday that he's got a chance at it. And, you know, with the rains that came in Thursday and kind of delayed a bunch of things, it even moved some players to Friday in their opening round. You know, it kind of slowed the course down. And you see, you know, a lot of guys that are even made, you know, if you're even, you're tied for 15th, you have a chance. You know, you've got the top three guys at minus six. I thought Colin Morikawa had a great day yesterday, shooting a 70, which was one of the best scores. Berg, who is the guy who sits seventh at minus two, shot a 69 yesterday. He's kind of that upstart, one of the sexier picks coming into the weekend. Max Homa's played pretty well. Scheffler, minus six. You know, you would say you're normally impressed. This is just what Scotty Scheffler does, the number one player in the world. And then Bryson DeChambeau. You know, obviously he hits it hard off of the tee, but he struggled down the stretch. I think he had a bogey late in that. So I think we'll see those guys hanging there. I think Morikawa will be in the running as well. Tommy Fleetwood has played pretty well over the, you know, yesterday. He kind of really turned it on late. There's a lot of guys, you know, if you're minus one or above, I think you probably have a chance. If you're minus three or above, you'll certainly be in that in that final group tomorrow. But can anybody catch Homa, Scheffler, and DeChambeau? And then obviously Scheffler probably has the advantage. He's won majors before. He's the number one player in the world. You know, he did have three bogeys yesterday. So, you know, whereas Homa only had one. And then you look at what Bryson DeChambeau did yesterday. He had four, including bogeying the last hole. So who can clean those bogeys up? Homa obviously has the advantage after yesterday, only having two. But yeah, these greens have played a lot different than what I think people were looking at heading into the weekend.
Yeah, and wind's been a factor too that I've noticed as well. You know, Scheffler, he's the favorite, but really, I heard a stat that the favorite hasn't won since Tiger Woods won last, and he really didn't come in as the favorite. He ended up being the favorite, but there hasn't been the favorite, if you will, to win since then. So there's that stat. Let's talk a little bit about Rahm getting a repeat. Don't know if it's going to happen, but certainly an interesting look at him. And I know he's been getting a lot of criticism over his decision to go with Lieb, especially this. It does not really care because, you know, you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid if you go with Lieb. I can see the appetite to go with Lieb. But just the way he did it, you know, a couple of years ago, he's like, oh, Lieb is bad for golf and I'll never join it. And I think he thought, well, if I join Lieb, it will help unify the two. That certainly has not happened. But if he does hold on to win, or not hold on, but manages to win the Masters again in a green jacket as part of Lee. That's history, but that's also going to ruffle a lot of feathers. What are your thoughts about that whole storyline with John Rahm and Lee?
I think it's kind of dead, right? I mean, you know, going into it was like, oh, this guy from Liv's coming over, but he won last year, so he's invited back because he won last year. But, I mean, the dude's +5 on the tournament while the leaders are -6. And when, you know, to make up 11 strokes over the next 2 days would be just probably the most phenomenal comeback ever, seeing as yesterday the lowest score shot was 69, so that's 3 under. And the lowest score shot on the first day was 68, and that's 4 under, so that's 7 strokes right there. He would have to absolutely blister the Masters course record for him to be able to come back.
Right.
So, no, I don't know. I think golf, I think you have good competition there, and maybe it's something in the future that they start to come back together. But, you know, it's kind of like in every sport. You know, if you've got competition, people are going to pay attention.
You like, and maybe it's not a like at all, but just a good segue into our next conversation about IndyCar. But you liken this Veeve and PGA a lot like, and you may not be old enough to remember all of that with IndyCar and Park and that separation, and then they came back together. Do you liken that at all to that?
Maybe a little bit. It just depends. I mean, it's obviously all about money, and it's all about, you know, getting eyes on the sport. And I think competition is healthy in all sports, and growing it. May not necessarily be two different leagues, but I certainly think that, you know, at the end of the day, there's a chance that maybe they could all come together. Obviously, the Masters, kind of like the Indy 500, you kind of put everything aside, and that's kind of where IndyCar and CART got in 2000 when Ganassi came back over from CART to run the 500 and ended up winning. And then, obviously, the next 3 years were won by Penske cars that came over from CART. So, you know, we'll see. They tried. There's a lot of money there. You know, if you look at a guy like John Rahm who went over to play, I mean, look, you're going to still be playing golf. Doesn't matter where you're playing it at or your competition, if you're getting paid a certain amount of money, and that certain amount of money is a lot more than what you would be making. So I guess I really can never blame guys for going and chasing money.
Well, and I agree with you. And make your money. You've earned it. You've heard the ability. And that's that way with any sport. Well, let's get on into IndyCar. We got not too early to say that Indy 500 is on the way. It is in the horizon. But there's a lot of stuff that has to happen between now and then. One of the things that was cut short this week was the testing out at IMS. I don't know if you had a chance to go out there. Tell me a little bit about the takeaways, what we were able to get takeaway, of course, with Joseph Newgarden. Kyle Larson, obviously going to be the rookie this year in the IndyCar. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out with him. But when we look at the testing from this week at IndyCar, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people is the fact that Kyle Larson was second on the speed charts. Now, obviously, he got a pretty massive toe, and, you know, there's a little bit of a storyline there, and it's a little bit watered down, I would say. He just happened to be out there, laid out a big lap towards the end of the afternoon before the rains came. But, you know, I talked to him, and you can check out that on my Twitter at TonyDeIndy, and he just said, look, you know, there's a lot that I need to learn, but I don't think that there was a lot to really simulate. We were only out there for a few laps in traffic, and then the rain washed things away. So I think Larson coming in is obviously one of the best Cup Series drivers, the 2022 NASCAR Cup Series champion. How is he going to do in that McLaren car? It's a four-car McLaren stable that has a chance to be really fast and be up towards the front. You know, Joseph Newgarden tops the speed charts. He was obviously the winner last year. And then we learned that IndyCar is going to do it everything it can, like it did last year, to end the race under green. And a lot of people really didn't like that. They thought the finish last year was manufactured, which is interesting because after the race, everybody was just so excited about the celebration that we saw with Joseph Newgarden going into the stands, which is awesome. And look, Joseph Newgarden won fair and square under the circumstances that IndyCar put out in front of him and what the officials made. So it's nothing against. It's nothing against Joseph Newgarden. It's just they kind of moved the goalpost as they went, and fans loved it at the time because it was a shootout. And then when they kind of settled things down, they look back on it. Now a lot of fans are like, oh, well, we didn't like it. It was manufactured. So I think they just need consistency. You just need consistency. Like, look, are we going to try to make this as much of a green flag finish as possible? Are we going to get to a set lap where we weren't going to throw a red flag? And based off of what I learned and what I was told, it's going to be exactly like it was last year if it comes down to that, to where if there's laps to go, they're going to try to finish it under green, regardless if it's one lap to go or five.
Well, we certainly look forward to the Indy 500 for a lot of reasons, and it would be really cool to see Kyle Larson win the 500. I don't think anybody's ever won the double, like won both races, but really would be cool. And if anybody could do it, it's been proven that Kyle Larson is the guy that can do it. Let's look forward to Long Beach coming up next week. They're back on the track. In Long Beach is always a great track to go to and a great race to watch. What are your thoughts going into Long Beach, and who are the drivers to watch for next week?
Yeah, I think what I'm going to look for is Andretti Autosport. This is a team, and Andretti Global. This is a team, and Michael Andretti's had some strong words for the series. This is a team that won two races last year. They were both with Kyle Kirkwood. They were both on street courses. It was at Nashville, and it was at Long Beach. Team returned to form. They're down to three cars full-time this year with Kyle Kirkwood, who obviously got his first two wins last year, with Marcus Ericsson, who is the first year on the team, and he's really good at Long Beach. Then Colton Herta, who has won there and is from California. So you should have a three-strong car effort in Long Beach. Alex Palou didn't really have the best St. Pete, but obviously dominated when it came to the race out at Thermal a few weeks ago. Can Scott Dixon take a move forward? And it's all about momentum from here on out. I talked to a lot of drivers about building momentum and getting to Indianapolis and getting to that first road course race in the month of May with some momentum under your belt. And that kind of starts, with the test this week, where maybe, you were trying to find some common ground with your team and with your crew, but obviously the rains kind of washed that away. So a lot of momentum is up for grabs here over the next two races.
Well, let's talk about Alex Palou. Obviously, he's the reigning IndyCar champion. Does he have a repeat in his future in 2024?
A year ago when we went into the Indianapolis 500, I think it was five different races and five different race winners, and none of them were Alex Palou. I think Marcus Ericsson, Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, Kyle Kirkwood, and Pato O'Ward all had wins going into the month of May, and Palou was consistent, obviously finishing in the top five, but he hadn't won a race. Obviously rips off a win at the road course race at the Speedway, wins the pole for the 500, gets hit in the pits at Indy, comes all the way back from 22nd to finish fourth. And then it just kind of went from there. He ripped off wins at Road America and Detroit and Mid-Ohio and really just kind of dusted the field throughout the summer. So, I think it's in him. And I think anything that, if he can grab a win before heading into May, that would be huge, knowing what he did last year going into the month of May without having a win under his belt.
Let's talk about Ed Carpenter. He's the one who's not won the Indy 500 yet. Been close. Been on the P1. Ed Carpenter, what's his story? Is he going to be able to finally make it happen this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Ed over his career, and, he obviously focuses on Indianapolis. He obviously focuses on winning that race and being fast on qualifying day. And last year, Rinus VK on that team put it on the front row. You had Christian Rasmussen, who is fast. So you've kind of downgraded this year as far as just cars go, right? You were running three full-time last year with Rinus VK, with the 20 car that had Connor Daly and Ryan Hunter-Reay in it, and then you brought in Ed on the oval. So you kind of downgrade a little bit simply by the fact that Ed and Christian Rasmussen are sharing that car this year. I think Christian will have a lot of speed at Indy. Ed's going to be right there. He just needs to be more aggressive on restarts late in races and be able to pounce. If there's a late race restart, it seems like that's been a detractor for Ed. We saw him last year wreck when we came back to green under that red flag. Obviously, the restart when he was leading or up towards the front, him and James Hinchcliffe got into a wreck. The best race that he's ran was races that had finished under green, which was, he kind of got pounced on the last restart in 2018. But 2021, he was on a charge. Late in a run, a green flag run. I think if he's going to have a chance, it's going to have to be a shootout towards the end where it stays green. He's got a chance to to just ride it out towards the end. But we shall see. I hope it happens. But that team still needs to make a step forward over the next couple of weeks. This is the team that hasn't finished on the podium, I think, since Renus VK won the road course race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway back in 2021. That was 3 years ago.
Well, let's pivot on over to the NBA. We're in Pacer country. We follow the Pacers. We like the Pacers, and it's kind of messy. They're stuck in the middle there between the Heat, the 76ers, and the Magic at number six. They were right here at the play-in. Really, I guess, what are your thoughts about the Pacers? Are we worried about the Pacers? Because it seems like they're starting to do what they do. They start off hot, and we really are excited about them. And they get to this time of year, and something fizzles out. But it's kind of messy right now for the Pacers. What's the outlook? What are your thoughts?
I think this has been a messy team since the turn of the 2024 calendar. You think about the trades they made. They sent Buddy Hield to the Philadelphia 76ers. A lot of Pacer fans, including myself, didn't really agree with the deal. You got Doug McDermott in a trade, which – you know, he hasn't done much. I knew he wouldn't do much. He can't defend. He couldn't shoot the three-point shot when he was in a Pacer uniform the first time. I think the problem that the Pacers have is they just have too many guys that are just NBA dudes. Like, right? Like, you know, you have your superstars and you have your guys that the ball should be in their hand at the end of the day. And that's obviously Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner. But the Nemhards, the Nesmiths of the world, and Ben Shepherds of the world, these are not guys that are going to elevate your game and get you deep into the playoffs. These are not – I mean, T.J. McConnell plays really good off the bench. But this team really misses Benedict Mathurin, who's obviously hurt for the season. Obi Toppin, I think, has been a disappointment in a Pacer uniform. He sprained his ankle last night, so we don't know how deep that bench is going to go. They just have too many guys, right, that just, you know, are just – okay, NBA players. They're not going to do anything too flashy. They're not going to explode for 20 or 25 points in a given night. And then you rely too much late in the stretch on Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam. And when the defense takes that away from you, again, you're relying on just dudes that just, you know, they're okay. They're good for, you know, maybe coming off the bench. But when you have injuries and trades and these players that wouldn't probably start on other teams, are having to step up in the roles, you're not going to win basketball games. You're kind of learning on the fly. So they'll get in. I hope it's at the sixth seed so you kind of avoid that that play-in situation. Orlando's a good team, but they're young. They don't have that playoff experience. You know, the Pacers can match up against the Magic in the first round. And, Tom, I guess you just see what happens. Go down there and steal a game in Orlando and maybe one on your home court and see what happens. But I just – you got to avoid that play-in, and that obviously is going to be huge tomorrow with getting a win.
Oh, absolutely. They've got their work cut out for them. And the Pacers still could actually fall all the way to eighth if they lose to the Magic and the 76ers win and the Heat beat Toronto in their final game. In that case, Philadelphia would move up to fifth, and the Heat would take over the tiebreaker. And not good for the Pacers. You think we're good enough to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those scenarios to where, and you're right, they had such a hot start to the season, right? Like they were making moves, and oh, we got to the Pacers got to the play-in tournament championship game, and the Lakers kind of exposed them. And you know, the defense just has been bad. I mean, you can't give up 125-plus a night and expect to win basketball games. But you get the Hawks tomorrow. That's your last game of the season. So, I mean, they're in the playoffs. No, it's just a matter of are they in where they're just going to play the three seeds and a best of seven with the Magic, or are they in where they're going to have to win the play-in tournament to be able to advance into the NBA playoffs. So, again, yeah, you got to win tomorrow. The Pacers are currently sixth, but Philadelphia right there tied with them. But the Pacers have the tiebreaker there, then Miami. So you need Philadelphia. You need the Pacers to win tomorrow and Philadelphia to lose tomorrow. And the Sixers are at home against a dismal Nets team, so the Sixers probably aren't going to lose. The Heat are at home against a dismal Raptors team. So Heat are probably going to – so give me the scenario there. If you got it in front of you, if the Pacers win, the Heat win, and the 76ers win, where does that put the Pacers?
That would put them in fifth, I believe. I took my scenario down and moved on. I apologize. But I think it does put them in fourth or fifth. So if that is a good scenario to play out. Tony, real quickly, yeah, before we let you go, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Win and they move. I think if they win this game tomorrow, there's an opportunity they can move all the way up to like the fifth seed, if not mistaken.
You're right about that.
So just win and just let everybody else figure it out. How about that? That's the way to do it.
I hear you. Hey, let's talk real quick about the excitement that's building here in Indianapolis for the Fever. You know, I honestly, I'll fall on the sword. I don't follow the WNBA as quite religiously as other sports, but the Fever are getting a lot of attention. They got the first round pick, everybody assumes, and they're going to get Caitlin Clark. Let's talk about Caitlin Clark. She is an exciting person to watch. And for me, as a mediocre Fever fan, this is exciting. And we typically don't go to Fever games, but we thought we will be checking out the Fever because of Caitlin Clark. So Caitlin Clark is going to be selling a lot of tickets for the WNBA and for the Fever. And she's getting a lot of the national attention, the kind of national attention that NBA teams get. So this is all good for the Fever. What are your thoughts about Caitlin Clark and coming to Indianapolis?
Well, yeah, I think it's huge.
Not official, but it's not quite official yet. But, yes, go ahead.
There's a lot of ties. Obviously, one of her biggest NIL deals was Gamebridge. Gamebridge located here. We see what they do for the city of Indianapolis and for IndyCar. Obviously, they sponsor Gamebridge Fieldhouse. Hy-Vee, which is one of her sponsors, that's pretty big, knowing that they want to bring some grocery store chains or grocery stores here to Indianapolis. And then her boyfriend works for the Pacers. So it's like – I think if you were to ask Caitlin off the record or maybe after she is picked, like, is this the absolute perfect scenario? I mean, you know, Iowa's not too far of a drive. I know the Chicago and the Minnesota franchises for the WNBA are probably closer, but you know, you're still a 4 or 5 hour drive from Iowa. So I think if you were to ask Caitlin if this is the perfect scenario for her, it certainly is. It's bringing excitement to college women's basketball. She brings excitement to the WNBA. Obviously, we saw that with the Fever. What do they have, 30 games on television this year? And the game in Vegas, they moved to a bigger arena. People are going to want to see Caitlin Clark. So it's going to be huge for the city of Indianapolis. Going to be huge for the Indiana Fever. I mean, don't forget they're a year removed of having the first pick with Aaliyah Boston, who's really good as well. So maybe this is finally a time that the Fever get back to their glory days of 10, 12 years ago with Tamika Catchings and all those great players that they had when they won the WNBA championship about 10, 12 years ago. So I think it's good for the city. It's good for women's basketball. It's good for girls in middle and high school that are growing up watching her. And she seems to be a good role model. And we'll see what it looks like when she gets here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. Great liking into Tamika Catchings. That's the last time I remember really getting excited about the Fever. So we'll see what happens. Tony Donahue, the Tony D Podcast. We appreciate you joining us. Where can people find your work and masterpieces, sir?
Yeah, check out draftnation.com. We've got a pretty cool event coming up for the NFL draft. We're going to have some current Colts players. We're going to do it to benefit Marlon Jackson, the former Colts Foundation. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have food, drink. We're going to break down the draft, cool giveaways, some swag. So if you want to bring your friends, check out draftnation.com. Grab your tickets for the event at Bullseye Event Group downtown Indy. Should be a lot of fun. Follow me at Tony D Indy on Twitter. I'm doing a subtext to where you can get all of my IndyCar information and opinions sent right to a text via your phone. And we'll talk to you about some IndyCar next week in Long Beach.
Real quickly, give me who's your pick for today's race, Xfinity race, and who is going to put on that green jacket?
All right, so NASCAR in Texas, give me Sam Smith today. Give me tomorrow. It's going to be give me Alex Bowman and give me Max Homa to win the Masters.
Got it. We appreciate you, buddy. Have yourself a good weekend. We'll talk with you soon.
All right, sounds good, Tom. See you.
Thank you. Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast joins us in helping us break down. Well, we put on the homework card, yes. We do that from time to time. But, hey, we're still talking about things relevant in the world of sports. The Masters, great conversation there. Really excited to see what happens there. And, of course, we'll be tuned in to see what's going on with Xfinity. Make sure you're following us on the Twitter. I keep saying the Twitter on the X. There we go. I couldn't quite get it out of my mouth there. But and so thank you, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, helping us break down next week's draft. We're going to see what's going to be happening with the Colts. As Tony mentioned, the draft party that's coming up on Thursday will be there as well. And so we look forward to having you guys walk along this week with us. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'm out of here. Deuces. We'll be right back.